Good evening, and welcome to another edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Alongside with Matt Corder, I'm John Coffrey, and we've got another good show coming your way tonight as we'll be talking football with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Doral. We'll also hear from linebacker DJ Nader. We'll talk volleyball with the head coach, Amy Worth, as well as an athlete off of her team in Bailey Vance. And also be joined by Mark Rosewell, the tennis coach out at Northwest Missouri State as well. So a big show coming up, and Matt, another big weekend coming up as well for Bearcat Sports.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A lot of home opportunities for to watch Bearcat Sports, and that's always fun when you have multiple sports with home games, home matches, that sort of thing, all in one weekend.
And for the Bearcat football team, they return home. They will face Northeastern State Saturday afternoon at Bearcat Stadium. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff. We'll have the broadcast on KXCV KRNW beginning at 12 noon with Bearcat Game Day. A reminder that support for the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the student body, Screen Printing and Embroidery, now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. Support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. And more information available at 660-582-2699. Again, our thanks to Carson, Renee, and all the waitstaff here at Carson's for all the work they do every week during the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Don't forget, if you have any questions for our guests tonight, pick up one of the question cards that are on the table and write out your question and pass it along to Brent over to our left, or he was over to our left a moment ago anyway. Go over to Brent, and he'll pass those along to us, and we'll also have some giveaways throughout the evening as well. So stay tuned. We've got more coming up on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, as we'll be talking. Guess we'll have Mark Rosewell coming up next. We'll talk with Rosie coming up right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's broadcast comes from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is a proud partner of Bearcat Athletics and is open 24 hours. Located on South Main Street, McDonald's late night menu offers limited breakfast and dinner items from midnight to 4 a.m. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nucor LMP in Maryville, producing steel parts that are used in agriculture, oil production, and the auto industry. Nucor would like to remind you not to text and drive. Don't let your last text be your last words. More at Nucor.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bearcat Lumber on East 1st Street in Maryville, providing windows, roofing, siding, and doors for new home construction, as well as materials and plans for outbuilding shops and garages. More at 660-562-0300.
Support for today's game comes from Southpaw's Veterinary Clinic in Maryville, offering medical, surgical, and dental care for small breed pets. Southpaw's encourages responsible pet ownership and preventative health care. More at 660-582-7387.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work, as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph. Family-owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's broadcast on the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information available at 660-582-7196.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And if you have any questions for our guest tonight, feel free to pass up a question card up here, and we'll relay it along to our guests, including the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's and women's tennis teams, Mark Rosewell. And Mark, your squads have had a pretty good fall, and it's still continuing on here in another week or so.
Yeah, John, we just finished our ITA a couple weeks ago, and actually we're getting ready to go to Sumner, North Carolina next Wednesday for the national tournament there.
And what a finals to that ITA regional is held down in Springfield, and it's not often that you get a finals where you have two players from the same team playing for the championship event, and that's what Northwest Missouri State was able to have.
You're right, John. That never happens. But we were very fortunate, played very well. Got a couple breaks, you know. But that was our two and three guys from last year, and they played extremely well. And I knew we had a chance to go to the Nationals and when the finals came up.
You got that one figured out there. And you talk about that sophomore Romain Bosano defeated Alvaro Ramirez in that singles final. And again, that really shows the type of depth you've got. You got two guys playing for the top spot there. And you know, say either way, it's going to be good for the Bearcats. But just talk about what those two players really mean to your program.
Well, Romain came in last January, so he's technically really just a freshman. He will be sophomore in January. Calvin recruited him. He found him out of, he was out of France. I don't know if he's from Paris area or whatever, but this kid's a good player. And then Alvaro, I knew a contact from him on Costa Rica. We've been getting some players from there. So he's been with us a couple years or whatever, but they're really fine players and good doubles players too.
And that really means a lot when you look at the depth when you go into the team competition in the spring.
Yeah, that's what you're trying to figure out, you know. And usually the teams with the most depth have a real good chance of winning, just like any sport that you play or whatever. But we're feeling pretty good at this point, you know.
I imagine, especially when you got two guys playing for the championship, and then you're talking to you think you've got even behind those two, you've got some pretty good players that'll be part of your 1-6 lineup next spring.
Yeah, and when you think about it, John, those guys were our 2 and 3 player. You know, Sergio transferred to Wichita State, so they weren't even our number one player last year. So you can see that's a pretty strong team.
Romain, obviously going on to the national tournament, and just talk about what's going to be taking place. That's going to be in South Carolina, I believe, and just kind of talk about what type competition he'll be up against here in another week.
Yeah, the format is there's 8 regions in the country, and the champions are represented by each one. So basically you'll get 3 matches, and the winner's bracket go one way and the loser the other way. So they'll determine all 8 positions, and then that's going to be your national rankings probably for the preseason, what after that. I mean, they're all good. Everybody's good. There's nowhere to hide down there, you know. But I think he's playing Concordia out of New York City. Remember, we played them in the national tournament a couple years ago, and they're an extremely strong team.
Well, that'll be fun for not only for Romain, but also fun for for the program as well, to be able to, when it comes recruiting-wise, to know that if they come in, they've got a chance to play at the national level.
Yeah, I think so, because kids want to go to national tournaments, and a lot of times when we'll say recruiting against Division I schools, you know, it comes down to you just ask the kid, you know, hey, you got a chance to go to national tournament here at this level. That Division I school, you may never see a national tournament. A lot of times you can't, so it helps us in this situation.
Now, on the women's side, we haven't talked a lot about that, but you look at Camila Quesada. She made it all the way to the semifinals of the regional, and we've had her on the program here a few weeks ago, and just what a great story that is with her coming back from a very serious knee injury to be back in and playing. It really appears to be just as well as she was before the injury.
That's right, because 2 years ago she got to the semifinals, too. We were extremely pleased about that. She's worked extremely hard to get back, and that's going to just add so much to our women's team when we were missing her, because she's a fine doubles player as well as singles player, and just a great co-captain to have on the team and so forth. So we're really, you know, we've got some young kids on the team, but we're excited. We're going to get better as it goes along.
I imagine really just the individual fall season, you have to feel really good about what you've seen on both teams here.
Yeah, it really was a good fall, you know, and you know, you don't want to get too high. You're never as good as you think you might be. Of course, you're never as bad as you may be. That the old coach's adage there, but you know, we're getting excited about it and really look forward to the spring season.
One final thing, and not only are you the men's and women's tennis coach at Northwest Missouri State, but probably one of the most avid baseball fans around here. And I imagine you enjoyed Tuesday night, didn't you, down in Kansas City?
I did enjoy that, John. Cash, it was really just so much energy down there. I hadn't been, you know, to a loudest place except for the night before when I was at Arrowhead Stadium. But, no, it was a wonderful thing. Great for Kansas City, I think.
And I think I remember seeing you back in 1985 in the World Series when they were there the first time, getting into the ballpark a little early for it.
I believe that's correct, Jared. I remember that. 85's been a long time.
Yeah, it is. All right. Well, Mark, thanks a lot for being with us, and congratulations on the season so far. Good luck to Romain and for his trip out to South Carolina for the national tournament.
Okay, thank you, John. Always a pleasure.
All right, that's the head tennis coach at Northwest Missouri State, Mark Rosewell. Again, Mark's sophomore, Romain Bouchonneau, will be competing in the ITA National Tournament coming up next weekend, as they'll be in Sumner, South Carolina for that. When we come back, we'll talk football, as we'll be joined by the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell. That's coming up as the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show continues after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Schreck Auto in Maryville. Lou Schreck and his team provide automotive care from tune-ups and oil changes to brakes and major repairs. More at 562-4884 or at their shop at 125 East South Avenue in Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Dion and Jody Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville, offering specialty pizzas, pastas, and wings, and a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More at PizzaHut.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Carpet Plus Bargain Barn on North Highway 71 in Maryville, providing carpet from Mohawk and Shaw, as well as hardwood flooring, tile, laminate, and vinyl. Carpet Plus provides estimates and arranges installation. More at CarpetPlus.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Bittersweet Floral and Gifts at First and Main in Maryville, offering floral arrangements for all occasions. Bittersweet also offers scrapbook supplies, silk arrangements, soaps, and gifts. More online at bittersweetfloral.com or at 582-5700.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We're joined now by the head coach of the Northwest football team, Adam Dorrell. But before we talk to AD, we've got a couple of giveaways here and a couple of winners already, as Gio Long, along with Terry Haar, our winner. So Gio and Terry, just come over and check out with Brent over here to our left and pick up your prize as part of the giveaways we have each week here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. And joined now by the head coach of the Bearcats, Adam Dorrell. And AD, looking sharp tonight.
Oh, thanks. I wish I could say I was dressed up for you guys, but I have another function I have to attend when we're done. But thank you. Take a picture. It doesn't happen often.
Talk about last week's trip to Oklahoma. I know one thing we talked about after the game. I mean, your offense had 616 yards. That's a big number. But I know you didn't feel totally comfortable with what you saw on that side of the ball.
No, there's some things we've got to clean up, but just, again, our defense kept us in that game the entire way until we could make some adjustments and get going. And even in the third quarter when we were driving and we missed a couple field goals, the field position was still really good. They never let the field get flipped. Our special teams harassed that punter the entire night. But, yeah, there's certainly some things that we feel we can build off from last week. And, you know, we did some really good things. We just got to finish in the red zone.
Yeah, I think that's just one of the big keys. If it finished a couple times there, the score would have looked even better for you.
Yeah, and, you know, just my opinion, I think when you get up on a team like that you've had success on in the past, I think would put a little doubt in their mind, but give them a lot of credit. I thought they did a really good job, had a good game plan, and that's a program that's much improved. And I told their coach after that, he's a great guy, and their coaching staff, they're doing a really good job, and they're moving in the right direction.
It seemed like when you talk about them being much improved, that seemed to be the case. It just seems like maybe the next step for them will be depth, because they had some good talent. They just did. They seemed, as the game went on, to maybe wear a little bit.
Yeah, they did. I noticed when we were on offense, they didn't play a lot of guys on defense, and obviously it was very hot and humid there for that time of year, and offensively, they didn't seem to be playing a lot of skill kids either, running backs and receivers.
Yeah, it really seemed that as the game went along, it took its toll, especially on the defensive side for them, where he really wore down the front line, it looked like,
their fourth quarter. Yeah, their defensive line, I thought, was the strength of their team, and it just... They struggled in the fourth quarter. Just they played so many snaps. Again, our defense had nine, what we call turkeys, nine three and outs, and that's unheard of in a game almost. And so, our defense was getting off the field quickly. We were getting on there, and even though some of those times we weren't scoring, we were sustaining some first downs and really kept their defense on the field a lot.
You held them to negative 14 yards rushing. You've been good against the rush all year. Is there kind of a generic secret to being able to do that? Because you're seeing some different styles of rushing teams so far.
Well, I think it starts with our kids' preparation. I think we've got a lot of veterans on defense. I think they really trust each other. They believe in each other. Obviously, they're very talented young men, good student athletes, and they're tackling really well right now. I mean, you look at the number of opportunities in a game where you might see a sweep or a ball carrier break to the outside, and I think our kids are doing a really good job of tackling. And so, you know, to me, that really shows up in the rushing yards. And so I think the run fits are good. They're making adjustments during the game. But a lot of football is preparation and going into the game. If you know, a kid can see a formation and he knows where he's supposed to fit, where they run the inside zone or the power play or the outside zone. And, you know, our guys are just, they're not making a lot of mental mistakes right now. And I think that's really key to the fact that, you know, we're shutting teams down running the football.
And this is something we've talked about a number of weeks as well, but just the pressure getting on the quarterback after he shut down that run where they're put into passing situations. It seems like as the game goes along, too, you start seeing the quarterbacks get a little bit gun-shy there because they've been, whether it's a sack or not, they've been hit as they throw in pressure on them the entire game.
Yeah, you're right, John. Our guys defensively always tally because to them it's not always just about the sack. It's about getting around him. Our defense hit him 20 times. Like literally, they hit him. Actually, it was 21. They hit him 21 times in a four-quarter game. Yeah, that adds up.
Some of those hits counted as two or three.
Sure, right. I'd be like, hey, come on in, you next guy up. I've earned my scholarship today. I've gotten hit 21 times. You come out here and try it for a while. But, you know, it is. When you can get pressure, like we're getting pressure, and we're doing it mostly with four-man rush, or in our 30 stuff, we're bringing an extra linebacker. But it seems to me, no matter who Rich, you know, is dialing up right now, whether it's a four-man rush and those guys are running their games, or, you know, DJ or somebody's blitzing, they're getting what our defense talks about, getting home, getting to the quarterback, and they're getting there.
When you talk about analyzing a game, you seem to always bring up things that aren't necessarily statistics. Some are. As fans, when we look at a game, we look at the statistics mm-hmm. to figure things out. How much of your analysis of a game is non-statistical, that you guys just have things that you're looking for?
Yeah, I think a lot. I mean, just, again, like something that comes to my mind, your ability to run the football like we ran it down there. A stat that you don't track in football is guys finishing their block. You know, staying locked up in the breastplate and driving their feet and finishing a block. Those are just things that aren't in statistics. That's one that comes to my head. But there's quite a few. There's probably more than you think of, you know, like the hits and things like that. I'm honestly kind of surprised that with the TV and everything nowadays, they're not starting to kind of add some stats, things that are good for fans. That's probably one that we'll see sooner and later in the game of football.
And now when you talk about the running game, you went in a little bit shorthanded with a couple guys out as far as not dressing for the trip down there, but Bobby Burton really came up big for you.
He did. We were really proud of Bobby. We thought he ran really hard. And then, you know, he's such a big guy, big back, him and Phil. You know, our kids, we're on them all the time. Just we harass those two mercilessly. Our kids are always after them, but they finish their runs, they get their pads down, they're doing a good job of securing the football. And Bobby did a great job again. And then just, man, you bring in that freshman Cameron, and man, it's just we're just starting to develop a nice little 1-2 combo right now, because Cam comes in and he's just got a little bit different gear. And he's really hitting it north and south, too.
We've seen several different backs because of injuries, and they seem to have been able to plug in and all play well. Are there certain positions where it's tougher to be able to do that than others? Just kind of plug and play, I guess?
Yeah, I think so. Probably, just comes to mind, probably the center position's a tough one with the exchange. that were tight end with what we do at the tight end position, where you move those guys around, that's a little bit more of a difficult situation. So those would probably be the two that come to my mind, the center one being the toughest one.
Yeah, they went down and faced a team that was undefeated going into that matchup at 3-0 as Northwest was going in. And I know one of the things that Central Oklahoma coaching staff been talking about leading into that was they felt that that was probably one of the bigger football games they've had in the program history down there, and you were able to go down and kind of take control of things down there in the game that they were really amped up for.
Yeah, they were. You know, obviously they're doing a great job with 3-0 at a time and beating two top 20 teams back-to-back. And so, again, I thought they had a good game plan. I thought they played really hard, and you know that's going to be, a pretty good football program here sooner than later. But I was proud of our kids, John, because I thought they really met the challenge. And you know, we talk about our motto this year, PTP. It's on the back of our helmet, protect the paw. And I thought our kids really were ready to go when the whistle sounded.
We talk a lot about there being a formula to winning in the MIAA. Is there some truth to that? I mean, are teams, especially the newer teams, starting to maybe figure out some of those aspects of that formula?
Yeah, I think so. And the flip side of that is it's just our league, I feel, is really balanced. You know, to me, you go from top to bottom, and you look at the caliber of athletes that are in there, and I don't know, you're basing that off. Look at the number of kids that are in the NFL right now that were in the MIAA last year. That tells you a little bit about the caliber of athlete in our league. But there's just really a lot of other leagues, I think there's the haves and the have-nots. And to me, in our league, there's really not. Pretty much every program in our league has quality student athletes.
I think it really seemed like the key to winning in the MIAA is not to try to go in and go for the quick fix, but to go in and start building from the ground up with the high school athlete and things. It seems like that's kind of the model that you see the teams really, I guess, have success, at least in the MIAA.
Yeah, I would agree with you, John. There's just, you know, that's the way we like to do it. And I know, you know, some of the things we're talking about, I don't know how you would do it the other way. I mean, can't say it can't be done, but I think it'd be very difficult to do it the other way. Short-term transfers, trying to play a lot of freshmen early in their career. It's just physically, I don't think those kids are able to do that.
One of the, speaking of the MIAA and experience in the conference, you'll kind of see that this week with Rob Robinson, their new head coach, coming from Washburn, being a coordinator there. And I think you can already kind of see, you know, the experience he's had and using that to, they've improved despite being 0-4 from week one.
Yeah, they're just, in my opinion, he's doing a good job. He was at, before he was at Washburn, he was at Pittsburgh State. So he's been around quality staffs, and he understands the game of football, and he's a quality person too. And so what I've seen him do in 1 year time, they're just a lot more sound in what they're doing. I think their kids are playing really hard. You know, you look at a team that was 0-3 last week going into that game against Emporia, and I think Emporia's a pretty good team, and their kids took that game into overtime. They played really hard, and to me that's the sign of a well-coached team. Teams that are playing hard, trying to play for each other when things aren't going right, you know, and obviously they're not going right for them right now.
Now, you talked a little bit ago about the number of players from them on a AA making it into the NFL, and let's just look at this weekend coming up. Got a special game. You got the Dixon brothers going up against each other when New Orleans faces Tampa Bay, and that's an interesting dynamic.
It is, John. We're very proud of those two kids. I just look at, they've come so far in their career here at Northwest Missouri State, and the thing about, you've got two, you know, twin brothers that are lifelong dream playing in the NFL, to play in the NFL, and they play against each other this week. I can't imagine the excitement that their family feels right now, and you know, I know they're very excited, and they feel very blessed to be, because you think about the statistics from high school to college, only 3% of high school football players move on to play college football, and from college football it's around 1% move on to play professional football. And so again, the fact that there's two brothers are doing it, I think is pretty neat. And I don't know if the game's on, we'll be working, I'd have to TiVo it anyway, but I hope to be able to watch that game. It's going to be neat.
And my guess is, with positions they play on special teams, there's a pretty good chance they're going to be nose-to-nose.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? It'd be funny to hear who gets the last word in if they did hit each other. It's hard telling. They'd probably have to separate them.
Talked to Brian just a couple days ago, and he's already said that Brandon's been on the phone with him a little bit, talking about how he's going to end his special teams career. Planning on it anyway.
You know, that sounds like those two. They like that phone.
Obviously, it's helpful for the program to have NFL players, but those guys in particular, it seems like, or it sounds like anyway, they've really been able to help you out in what's kind of a hotbed for football in terms of recruiting.
Yeah, well, the number one way they helped us is when they were here. I thought they did a really good job of preparing each week. They were good leaders because they were, you know, some of the more talented kids on our team. They didn't just rely on talent. They committed to the process. Their preparation was good. They believed in watching video. And, you know, that really filtered down to the younger kids. And then you take that a step farther right now. It's, you know, with what we're trying to do with recruiting, we have 8 kids on our team right now from Florida. And obviously, they're big name, the Dixons in the Florida area. Down by Miami. They're big name right now. I mean, they're, you know, it's an unusual situation, twin brothers, and so they just give instant credibility to our football program. And so now when you're calling those kids or you're sending those kids information, those kids now know Northwest Missouri State, that's where the Dixon brothers are from. So, yeah, it's a neat deal. They're helping us in a lot of ways.
And I think another way they help is not only did they come from Northwestern, but they continue to feel good about their time here and talk about the family atmosphere, and they continue to talk up the great atmosphere they had at Northwestern.
Yeah.
The people that they know down there.
Yeah, they did. And obviously, John, you know, before they came to Northwest, they were at a junior college, and the junior college they were at actually shut their doors and stopped playing football. And so then they had to move from there to a different one. And so their career early in the collegiate process probably wasn't the most positive experience for them. You know, they talked about some of the challenges, about, you know, just uniforms, just little things like that. And they were always very appreciative of the support they had here from the community and from our university and just the resources they had here, both on the football end of it and from an academic end of it.
You mentioned their leadership and their work ethic. That seems like something that just is across the board with just about every senior class you've got that runs through.
Yeah, we're trying. You know, again, we've got 21 seniors this year, and we're really challenging them to just focus on the little things. We're getting to that midpoint of the season. And, you know, the thing we talked about yesterday is just, you know, look where we're at. We're 4-0, but do you feel good about being 4-0? And I think we left there going, no, we can be better. There's things we can do a lot better right now. And so we're really focused on trying to take the field Saturday and improve and look at how we can take that next step. It's not always about winning or losing. It's about how you're getting there and are you getting better each week? Because to me, a championship team gets better each week.
Now, again, you face a Northeastern State team that's coming in winless on the season, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, a team that's making strides each week and went to double overtime with Emporia last Saturday. What are some of the things that you're looking for as far as keys to this matchup on Saturday?
Well, we have to handle their pressure. They blitz about 2 out of every 3 snaps, so you guys are going to be seeing a lot of defensive formations and a lot of different kids blitzing. At least that's what they've done the first 4 games. So we have to handle their pressure. I think they do a really good job of, when they blitz, of getting home and getting around the quarterback. So, you know, who's ever involved in the protection, you know, we need to be good there. Not just when you're throwing the football, but they'll run what we call run stunts to try to disrupt your run schemes. And so we have to handle that pressure. You know, defensively, again, they're throwing a ton of offensive formations at you and trying to confuse you. So pre-snap, getting lined up, being sound, understanding our gap integrity, where we're supposed to be, is going to be important. And then they're a little bit what I would term unorthodox on special teams. I think we've got 24 different punt formations that they've run. And so, again, you got to be careful there that you don't lose leverage. And the next thing you know, you're getting a fake punt run on you. Their kick return, their kickoff team, it's almost changed each week. And so it forces you to look at what they're doing early in the game. And you got to be able to get your kids together on the sideline and show them what this is, what their punt team is, what this is, what their punt return team's doing, kickoff return. So, you know, Kenny's got a big challenge in front of him Saturday.
If you have early success in all phases of the game with a team that does some different things like that, does that kind of maybe in the players' mind, help them question what they're doing a little bit and if it's going to work today?
Yeah, I think so. I think the other thing is anytime you're playing on the road in front of a, you know, a hostile crowd, I think it's you get behind a little bit. You're currently 0-for and haven't won a game. I think it's, unfortunately, I've been on that other end. It's a challenge. You know, you heard me say it 1,000 times, confidence is a very fragile thing in student athletes.
All right, well, AD, thanks a lot for being with us. We'll let you get to your next engagement here.
All right, thanks very much.
All right, that's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Adam Doyle. We'll come back and continue to talk football as the linebacker DJ Nader will join us. That's coming up right after this timeout.
Wait, he's got some pain.
I think so. We'll talk with DJ after this. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Back with more after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway Valley Bank, now offering its customers mobile banking services. More information is available online at nvb.com or at any of their locations in Maryville, Savannah, Mound City, and St. Joseph.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Maryville Hy-Vee. At every home game, Hy-Vee supplies tailgaters across the Bearcat Nation with their line of Deluso sliced meats, cheeses, salads, and sandwiches. More in-store at Hy-Vee, located on South Main in Maryville.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville, located at 1528 South Main Street, offering a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More information available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's broadcast comes from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is a proud partner of Bearcat Athletics and is open 24 hours. Located on South Main Street, McDonald's late night menu offers limited breakfast and dinner items from midnight to 4 a.m. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
TV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Before we move on, a couple more giveaways here this evening. Winners now include Dorothy Baldwin. So Dorothy's a winner here, so she can come over and pick up her prize. And Sarah Nelson's also a winner. So Sarah Nelson and Dorothy, come over and pick up your prizes over here from Brent just to our left. And as I mentioned before the break, joined now by linebacker DJ Nader. And DJ, you've got some fans over here, it sounds like.
Yep, absolutely. Got my D-line over there supporting me. Appreciate it, guys.
It's been a heck of a year, and one of the things that you hear a lot of people talk about is just how dominant the defense has been this season.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have talked about it, and, you know, we kind of, as a defense and the coaching staff, the defensive coaching staff, we don't really kind of, like, want to get caught up in that. We do, you know, what the coaches have us do week in and week out, and they put together, you know, like a great game plan for us for, you know, whatever opponent we're facing. And, you know, just the experience we have on the defense makes it, you know, easy to click. And, you know, we've worked together. We've been through, you know, a couple seasons together, most of us starters. And, you know, we just mesh well together. And, it's you know, we're all comfortable, and it's a good feeling.
Yeah, when you talk about the coaching staff and the game plans they put together, that's something that we talk about from time to time on the broadcast, is how well prepared you guys are. And from your standpoint of coming through the program and seeing the work that the coaches do, what are some of the things that they really do to help get you guys prepared for Saturday?
Mentally, they get us ready for every formation any team throws at us. You know, I mean, tendencies, you know, if a team, you know, likes to pass in a certain formation or run out of a certain formation. And, you know, just the film study, just the way they break it down and explain it to us is just, you know, I mean, you can tell they put a lot of time and effort into it. And not only do they put a lot of time and effort breaking it down, but they put a lot of time and effort, you know, teaching us what they want us to do, you know, the exact fit and stuff like that. And, you know, we watch a lot of optional film and stuff like that, but for the most part, our coaches do a great job of getting us ready mentally and physically.
I know one thing that we kind of talk about and kind of laugh a little bit about this is that it seems like the only team that's been able to stop guys like Danny Woodhead, who's gone on to have success in the NFL before your time, and then, of course, John Brown with Pittsburgh State has been doing well this year with Arizona. The only team that seems to stop him on all levels has been in Northwest Missouri State.
Yeah, you know, last year we had a good game against him, and the previous year, my freshman year, he got us a couple times, you know. I mean, it was a long day when we played him, but, you know, coaches always do a great job, you know, throughout the week, just getting in our heads, you know, what that guy's going to do or the ability he has. And, you know, personally, by the time Saturday gets there, we're so tired of hearing it. And, you know, we're just ready to go out there and, you know, prove coach, you know, that we can execute the game plan and shut down the person that they're going to try to get the ball to.
Now, senior in this program, I know talking with you during preseason, one of the things you talked about was important for guys like you've been around the program a little bit is to really work with some of the newcomers and teach them the Bearcat way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's honestly how, you know, personally, that's how I learned. And, you know, I know all the guys over there, all the D linemen, the older guys, that's how they all learn too. And I mean, it's just a different way than a lot of schools. And, you know, when you come in, you coming from the high school where you're the, you know, the man and the best player, and, you know, it was all about, you know, you making the play. But now it's on our defense, it's about doing your 1-11th, because if you're not doing your job, then, you know, we'll have a gap open or you can get scored on. And, you know, we really stress that to the young guys and, you know, show them the importance of, you know, the mental and the physical preparation before games, and showed them how it paid off last year, and we're continuing to try to do that this year.
I think, too, one of the things that makes this defense so good is the fact that you've got some of the young guys that come in and get some reps in games at times when it really counts, and working alongside with guys like you and some of the other veterans in there, so they have a firsthand knowledge of what it takes.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, they, like, you know, it comes back to the coaches, you know, through the week during practice and, you know, even watching film and stuff like that. They get those guys, you know, along with us, mentally ready for whatever they're going to throw at us. And, you know, we do so many repetitions and, you know, go over it so much, you know, by the time Saturday gets here, it's just, we're not even thinking, we're just reacting, and that's what we want to do on defense.
We talked to AD about how it seems like in the fourth quarter, you see the offensive line or the offense start to wear down against the teams that you've been playing. Do you, when you're out there facing an offense like that, do you get a sense at that particular time where it looks like your opponents are wearing down a little bit?
Absolutely. I would get wore down too, though, if those guys were coming after me. I mean, they do a great job. The D-line does a great job of, you know, keeping guys off me and the other linebackers. And, you know, the front seven, you know, we kind of do our thing, and then the back end, they do their thing, but, you know, it's all obviously all the same thing. But yeah, I see that sometimes. And, you know, our strength and conditioning coach Joe Quinlan does a great job too, you know, in the offseason, getting us in the condition that we need to be in for games. You know, it doesn't matter if we're playing a half a football or, you know, overtime, you know, we're in great shape, and, you know, he does a good job of that throughout the winter and summer.
You might talk about it, you know, personally, as far as what really brought you to Northwest Missouri State, and what are some of the things that really enticed you about coming to the Maryville campus?
First and foremost, Scott Boswick was the main reason. He recruited me, and, you know, just the bond and relationship I felt with him was, you know, it's very hard to explain, and, you know, I miss him so much, but, you know, that's when he passed away, I wanted to dedicate my career and, you know, everything I did here to him. And just the tradition of the program, you know, I came down for a game and I just, you know, watched how the defense was flying around, the offense was, you know, scoring touchdowns, and I can't remember who they played on my visit, but they ended up beating up on him pretty good, and, you know, I followed him throughout the rest of the season my senior year, and, you know, it was a no-brainer when it came down to picking where I was going to go, just because of, you know, like I said, the tradition and Scott Boswick.
And what's the future hold for you as being a senior in the program? What are you looking for after you leave Northwest?
I'm just looking for, I don't know, it's really hard to think. You know, I'm going to finish up with school this fall, and then I got an internship this spring or winter, whenever, and I really don't know what I'm going to do yet. Just taking one step at a time, enjoying this last season. I've been here forever, it seems like, so I'm just enjoying every bit of it.
Now, we've got one final question to pass along to you, and this comes from someone named Zach Williams over here. And the question is, how long have you been growing your hair out?
I've been growing my hair out, I think, since mid November last year, and Matt Longacre's the reason. He inspired me to grow my hair out. Him and running back last year, Billy Creason, they both inspired me to grow my hair out, so all the credit goes to those guys right there.
Now, again, I'm not sure where this one comes from. I might pass this question along, too. I got a feeling it's from this group over here, but who is your favorite defensive lineman?
Man, I don't have a favorite. I got... I love them all.
All right, good answer, good answer. DJ, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's DJ Nader, senior linebacker for the Bearcat football team. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to volleyball as Amy Wirth will be with us, the head coach of the Northwest volleyball team. That's coming up as the KXCV, KRW Bearcat Coaches Show continues from downtown Maryville and Carson Sports Grill.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nucor LMP in Maryville, producing steel parts that are used in agriculture, oil production, and the auto industry. Nucor would like to remind you not to text and drive. Don't let your last text be your last words. More at Nucor.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bearcat Lumber on East 1st Street in Maryville, providing windows, roofing, siding, and doors for new home construction, as well as materials and plans for outbuilding shops and garages. More at 660-562-0300.
Support for today's game comes from South Paul's Veterinary Clinic in Maryville, offering medical, surgical, and dental care for small breed pets. South Paul's encourages responsible pet ownership and preventative health care. More at 660-582-7387.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work, as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph. Family owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's broadcast on the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information available at 660-582-7196.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Schreck Auto in Maryville. Lou Schreck and his team provide automotive care from tune-ups and oil changes to brakes and major repairs. More at 562-4884 or at their shop at 125 East South Avenue in Maryville. We're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show here on another Thursday evening, as we are here every Thursday evening here in downtown Maryville. Before we move on and talk Northwest Missouri State Volleyball, we've got yet another winner. Hopefully we can get Brent back to his post quick enough to give away the prize. Norma Clark. Norma, you are the latest winner. Come on over and visit Brent. He did make it back to his post, so he's ready for you here. Bearcat volleyball team, again, they will be at home for a couple of matches. Joining us now is Amy Wirth, the head coach of the Bearcat volleyball team. And Amy, a little road trip last weekend, a southern road trip, which I guess most of them are in the MI that will be, now
true.
That I think about it. But a 1-1 weekend. Talk about the start in Edmond, Oklahoma. That was a pretty good UCO team you guys went up against. Just talk about how that match went for you.
Sure. They're undefeated on the season and in the conference. And, you know, they're at home, so they were in their comfortable setting. And they were ready to play. I mean, they had a game plan, and they executed it at a higher level than we did, for sure.
We've talked several times about the youth of the team. Even though that was a loss, playing against that caliber of a team, is that a good learning experience for the team?
Yeah, it is. It depends what kind of points you want to bring up, you know, and what you want to show on film. But I think the biggest learning experience wasn't necessarily X's and O's. It was really the focus that... You know, it was the first road trip we've had, so we had to have the right focus to go in to play a team, one that was undefeated in the conference, and, you know, just playing against a team that has a lot of confidence, the focus that we needed to have. So that was a big learning moment for us.
Then talk about the bounce back the next night or next day in Joplin. You ended up with a 3-1 win.
Yep.
You had to feel good about the way they reacted.
Yeah, one of the things we talked about in the locker room afterwards was the focus and how it needed to change. And we still had a 3.5-hour drive on us the next morning to get there and then to play it too, which was less than 24 hours. And so I really sat down with the seniors that night in the hotel, and we rehashed some things about, you know, what we needed to do to be prepared tomorrow at a higher level. And When I came downstairs for pregame, you could tell they were in a different mindset than they had been the night before. So I was really proud of the seniors for stepping in and changing that atmosphere. And even though we lost the first set to Missouri Southern, I felt like our focus was where it needed to be for us to bounce back and to win the next three. So hats off to them to get our team prepared, you know, mentally.
It seems like your team, at least at times, maybe more often than that, has been good about gaining momentum inside a match. And when you do get a set and start to play well, that really builds.
I think our team chemistry, I mean, that's really attributed to the team chemistry that we have this year, and they believe in each other, and the things that they're saying in, you know, the timeouts in between sets is really positive. Like, we can do this, like, listen to the game plan. You know, we've been successful at getting teams out of system a lot, and that is something that is our backbone, and they truly believe in that. And our serve and pass has just improved over the weeks that we've played statistically, and I've pointed that out to them. So it's a source of confidence for them, and they know if they go back to really focusing on that we can get any team out of system.
When you look at statistics for matches, it looks like on any given night you can have a different player that is putting up pretty good numbers. Is that something you can kind of have a feel going into a match who might be able to have a good night, or is that something that just comes about?
It's something that comes about. You know, our logo that we're trying to go after this year is one team, and you know, we're really pushing that from the standpoint that sometimes it drives you crazy as a coach, but that's okay from the standpoint that people are really ready to play off the bench, and I feel like they've stepped in when I've, you know, called their number, and they've, you know, contributed the way they think they can and to the situation that we need them. And so it's nice, I guess it's assurance from the standpoint, insurance, to know that someone's going to come in and try to contribute. But sometimes it's a little tricky to know who's going to be able to give that night. But maybe it's better for the defense because, you know, they don't know what's coming also, you know. So I think overall it's just the team chemistry has been good. For them to be able to be supported to come off the bench and be able to do that.
We hear in basketball a lot that you want to go with the hot hand, the player that's hot. Is there some similarities in volleyball with that?
Yeah, there is. You know, statistically we take stats in practice, and so we're kind of guided by, you know, how people are doing that week. For us, you know, for the starting lineup portion of it, from a setter standpoint, you're really going to go with the hitter that is, you know, putting the ball away for you at a high level. So we tend to think that way a little bit in volleyball, just like you would in basketball. But sometimes your hot hand's not going that night, so you might have to go to someone else and manufacture, you know, your kills from get them from someone else. So it really is just a situational thing. And because volleyball is not, it's such a random sport, every night it could be different because of the matchup. So it's just nice to be able to see our players have the right focus and step in and contribute when they can.
Are there some times as well with just the rotation of the opponent that you might fall into an area where it sets up better for some players?
Absolutely. Like, you can never control what the other coach is going to do. You know, we can rotate, they can rotate. And so, you know, if you're a fan and you're watching and you're saying, why are they in this rotation, or why is something look different, or why is this player starting when the last match they didn't start, usually it has to do with matchups. And when we played Western, that was an interesting thing because she was rotating, I was rotating. What it really comes down to is, regardless of what you're in, we don't really tell our girls those matchups, you know, because regardless of what you find yourself in, you got to play, and you got to do your best. And so there is some strategy, and there's sometimes you just pick a lineup and you stick with it, because we're in the middle of our conference, you know, mid-pack conference-wise. We're not a Washburn, a Central, or a UNK where they can stick to their lineup and they don't care. We have to be able to change, and I think that's what you saw when you watched us in Western play, because we're both fairly similar teams from the standpoint of where we're going with our, you know, with our programs. So it was kind of funny to see how many times we were spinning.
Yeah. Now, do you feel like you've got a group that as they grow, you might be able to get to that point where you can just have anybody out there?
Well, that's definitely what you're trying to work towards. You know, we have some recruiting classes in place with, you know, the younger players that I feel like can get us the foundation that, you know, they're going to be seasoned by the time they get up to be a fresh, or from their freshman year until their senior year, that they're going to know that experience. So they're going to experience what it is to be like an MIAA. And that's going to help them be able to feel very confident their senior year.
You mentioned recruiting. I heard you speak last week, and there was something very interesting that you had talked about. It seems like with volleyball and the way you have to work, you're almost recruiting more in advance than a lot of the other sports in terms of looking toward the future. Talk a little bit about how recruiting works for you guys and building for the future.
Right. You know, when you work, you know, with the other sports and you get to hear their recruiting and where they are, you know, for example, football is, they're not going to really start recruiting their 2014 class until their 2015 class,
yeah,
until January when it comes back around for next year, where we're already finished with our 2015 class. And
wow,
so we're already looking to 2016s. So when we go in January, we're already looking at the club season, at kids that are essentially going into their senior year, where football is just recruiting that year that is just finished their senior year. So
yeah,
for example, they're going to go after those seniors that year.
Yeah.
And so it's really interesting for us to kind of, you have to have an imagination a little bit. And there is some guesswork into it because you never know how they're going to end up their senior year. You know, how they're going to, you know, how much they're going to improve. Where for football, you can kind of watch them through their whole entire senior year and you can see how much they've grown. And it's a lot less of a guessing game, where for us, it's kind of anybody's guess. And you're really basing your recruiting on athleticism and what you're seeing and how high their ceiling is. And so, kind of tricky.
Yeah, you mentioned club teams and club recruiting. Their season is obviously off season,
yep,
for you guys.
Yep.
So seeing a player in person as opposed to seeing a player on film, is it a pretty drastic difference? How important is being able to do that?
It you know, the best thing is to see a person, you know, see them in person. Some of the things you don't see on film is how their teammates react to them, how they react to their coaches, because when you take film, you can give any perspective to it that you want. So, for example, if you just give us a highlight film, we're only seeing the best of you. We're not seeing anything else that's happening. So you look really good on a highlight film, right?
Yeah.
When you go and watch someone in person, now you're seeing them make a mistake and how they react to it. You're seeing how their teammates are reacting to them. And so you get a whole different scope, and you can watch, obviously, matches, more than one match throughout a whole entire, you know, day. And then you can see, okay, did they have a bad match that game? How are they going to bounce back? So it's probably more of the sports psychology thought process when you can,
yeah,
watch them throughout a day versus just going and watching a highlight film of someone.
I had to react to a lot of mistakes, so I probably needed to be in person.
You needed a
Yeah, the highlight tape was real short, too. this weekend, as we mentioned, both Friday and Saturday, you've got home matches, Pittsburgh State, Southwest,
yep,
Baptist, in that order. Talk a little bit about Pitt Friday night. What do you expect out of them?
They are, well, sometimes you don't know what to expect out of them, because they want to run a very fast offense. And what we call that in volleyball is zero tempo. So if you think of the net, you've got 1 foot, 2 foot, like those are the different types of heights that you have. And, you know, for example, our outside set would be a four. It's 4 feet above the net.
Uh-huh.
They like to run at a zero or a one tempo. So if you think about that, you have to have extremely good ball control. And sometimes I would say you pull yourself down to, you know, hitting not even at 100%, maybe at 75%, because the likelihood of that happening on a consistent basis, you know, is fairly small if you don't have the ball control that you need. So for us, how I feel like we match up well with them is we can get them out of system. We can serve aggressive enough that their passers can't put that ball to where the setter needs it so that their hitters can run at such a pace that we're scratching our head, you know, saying, oh my gosh, what do we do?
And Southwest Baptist Saturday.
Southwest Baptist is going to be fairly similar to us, matchup-wise. They're probably bigger. Last year, they blocked us a lot, but we came back from them from that and beat them in five last year to get into the MIAA tournament. So I'm sure they're going to have a little bit of a revenge factor that they want to come on our court and take us down, which they didn't do last year. So they probably have some unfinished business thought process. But both of these matches are very big from the standpoint of where we can set ourselves up for next week.
All right, Coach. Well, good luck this weekend.
Well, thanks.
That is Amy Wirth, head coach of the Northwest Missouri State volleyball team. Home Friday night at 7 o'clock against Pitt State and home Saturday at 6 o'clock against Southwest Baptist. And admission to Saturday's match is free, so keep that in mind as you can take in a couple of events on Saturday. We'll take a quick timeout. We're going to continue to talk volleyball when we come back. Bailey Vance, one of the players for Coach Wirth, will join us. That's right after this. You're listening to The Coach's Show on KXCB KRNW.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Dion and Jody Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Carpet Plus Bargain Barn on North Highway 71 in Maryville, providing carpet from Mohawk and Shaw, as well as hardwood flooring, tile, laminate, and vinyl. Carpet Plus provides estimates and arranges installation. More at CarpetPlus.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville, offering specialty pizzas, pastas, and wings, and a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More at PizzaHut.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Bittersweet Floral and Gifts at First and Main in Maryville, offering floral arrangements for all occasions. Bittersweet also offers scrapbook supplies, silk arrangements, soaps, and gifts. More online at BittersweetFloral.com or at 582-5700. Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville, located at 1528 South Main Street, offering a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for today's game comes from South Paul's Veterinary Clinic in Maryville, offering medical, surgical, and dental care for small breed pets. South Paul's encourages responsible pet ownership and preventative health care. More at 660-582-7387.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show as we continue to talk volleyball. Bailey Vance, one of the four seniors for the Bearcat volleyball team, joining us. Bailey, a libero for the Bearcat volleyball team. Bailey, just talk about, with it being your senior year, just the experience so far of this year's team. Obviously, you're working with a lot of younger players and that sort of thing. What's the experience been like?
You know, it's been a really great experience so far. You know, we really welcomed in, like, all the freshmen. You know, they've been a great asset to our team, and the team chemistry has been unbelievable so far this year. And so it's just been a really great experience, definitely a little bittersweet since it's my senior year. But, no, it's just been a lot of fun. We're really excited about the rest of the season.
Do you feel like, you talk about it being bittersweet, you have a chance to kind of leave your mark on the program in terms of teaching the younger players what MIAA and Northwest volleyball is all about?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, I just hope, you know, as a senior class, we can really just help our freshmen out and establish, you know, a tradition here in Bearcat volleyball and really leave a statement for them, you know, to continue that tradition on for the next, you know, 3-4 years.
Now, we kind of talking, it almost sounds like, you know, it's been a down year and we're talking about it that way, but it seems like you guys have been able to play well despite all the youth on the team. What do you think have been some of the keys that you've been able to play well from a player standpoint? What are the keys to having some success on the court with some younger players like that?
You know, they really, you know, they look up to us, you know, as a senior class, and we really, you know, set the standard for what, you know, we expect out of our team, and really just welcoming them into, like, all these different things and what we're doing, and really just creating a good family atmosphere and really doing that every time we step on the court.
It seems like there's a lot of good volleyball played in the MIAA, and obviously you've played a lot, club level, high school, all that sort of thing. Is it enjoyable to play this level of volleyball?
Of course. It's always a always a challenge, you know, and I really do love challenges. And, you know, it's just a good experience for us, you know, to have a challenge and really go out there and prove something every time we're out there.
What Coach was talking about last weekend, how you guys kind of had the struggle against UCO, but changed your focus and had the focus against Missouri Southern.
Mm-hmm.
What does it take as a player to be able to make that quick turnaround like that and be able to kind of put that previous match out of your mind?
You know, we sat down with Coach after and really discussed, you know, the UCO match and how, you know, we didn't really come in with the right focus. You know, it just started with the seniors, you know, saying that, you know, something needed to be changed. Something needed to be, you know, we needed to have a better focus during our pregame, you know, stuff. Like, we're getting ready in the locker room. There needed to be a more well-rounded focus from every single person on the team. And I think, you know, we went into Missouri Southern as one whole team. Every person on the team was ready to go and focus, and that was a great change from the night before.
You get a couple of home matches this weekend. It really seems like in the ones you've had so far, Bearcat Arena has been a fun place to play. Are you guys experiencing that?
Oh, yeah. It's always exciting. Always exciting. We've definitely had some great crowds, great fans coming out to support us. That really helps us out, and we just love to see everyone there.
All right, Bailey. Well, good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
That is Bailey Vance. She's the libero for the Northwest Missouri State volleyball team. We mentioned again, home Friday and Saturday. We'll wrap things up when we come back to Carson's here in downtown Maryville right after this on the KXCB KRNW Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes